If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. Misty Winston on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, y'all. Happy Friday. It's Friday. I get so excited because I get to sleep in. I have kids, so I have to get up on the weekdays really early. And I am not a morning person, my friends. I am not, and by any stretch of the definition, a morning person. So I'm very excited. I get to sleep in tomorrow. We do have a great show lined up tonight. We have Alex from United for East Palestine back on the show to get an update on what's happening there, which is just more shenanigans, unfortunately. But before we get to that, before we bring Alex in, I want to talk a little bit about a couple different things, actually. First of all, I'm a weather geek. I love weather. In particular, I love tornadoes. And it has been quite the day today in the United States as far as tornadoes go. It has been a very busy day. Arkansas, Tennessee, Iowa, Illinois, and Wisconsin, I think so far. I may be missing some, but I think so far that's the confirmed tornado events in those states. Multiple events in some situations. I know like Little Rock was kind of pummeled. It's been a really pretty terrible day on that front. So, and the bad weather is continuing. I'm getting ready to get it here. I'm hoping I don't lose power because we're going to get some high winds and stuff like that overnight. I'm not sure when exactly it's supposed to start. But a lot of communities got super crushed today by some really, I mean, I keep refreshing my Twitter feed on the search word tornado because there just keeps more videos keep coming out. And it's intense, like so many of these these events today, and they're all significant. Like, I feel like they're all probably going to be at least F3 with it. I don't know if anybody, if you don't know, an EF3, it's kind of like middle of the road. I guess it goes from 0 to 5. It's a significant thing. Like, these are really big events, and they're happening all across the country, multiple different places, multiple different states. And it's intense. Like, the damage is really bad. I know in Arkansas, one of the schools got completely wiped off the map, pretty much. Just significant damage all across all of these states. So keep an eye out. If you live in these communities or near these communities, keep an eye out for people who might need some help. Or if you can donate, or if you can like drive to one of these communities and take some stuff for them, clothes, water, food, just whatever. I mean, anything that you can think of that they might need in a disaster situation. There's going to be a lot of displaced people. I've been trying to keep an eye on potential fatalities. And so far it seems, I mean, it's very early, but so far it seems like some death, but I don't think it's super significant, at least not yet. It's changing pretty frequently, but I haven't seen anything where there's been any significant loss of life, which is good. I mean, it sucks that all of these had happened and destroy a whole bunch of communities. Hopefully the warning systems were doing good, because it's a very frustrating thing to me that we can't seem to nail those down. Just keep an eye out if people need help, help them. It's a lot. There's a lot going on in the land of weather today. Also, don't forget too, this is Rolling Fork, Mississippi was, I think, not even a week ago. And that was a significant event. So tornado season seems like it's going to be pretty intense this year, which is unfortunate. But it's about 10 years past our last big, like, outbreak season. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an intense tornado season. So be ready for that if you live in a tornado zone. I'm in the Midwest, so I don't get them a lot here in Ohio, though. Honestly, we don't get a ton. But it's still pretty crazy. It's still pretty intense. One of my friends just moved here to the Midwest and was freaking out a little bit today. And I'm like, don't worry. Before you know it, you'll be out on your porch with a glass of wine and a camera trying to like see what's going down. That's usually how we handle it here. So also, I wanted to update you on the Assange action that we have coming up in April, on April 11th. We had a meeting. I just wanted to keep everybody updated. We have a couple confirmed speakers. Probably not going to do a ton of speakers. We did a huge event in October. Also, we're kind of behind, as I mentioned before. I got sick, and so I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on this one. So it's not going to. We're not going to be able to you know, be as in depth as maybe we would like to be. But we're still going to do something on April 11th from 4 to 6 p.m. outside the Department of Justice on the corner of 10th and Pennsylvania. I'm not going to announce any like speakers or anything yet because I want to get things like super nailed down and confirmed. Again, we're so behind. I'm not used to being this behind. So I'll try to keep everybody updated as we make these decisions. But if you can make it out to Washington, D.C. on April 11th from 4 to 6 p.m., please join us and help us spread the word too. Help us get the word out about the event, because that's half the battle, especially because we get crushed algorithmically. Anything related to Assange is immediately crushed algorithmically. So, and then also you can follow me on Twitter at Sarcasm Stardust. I update there all the time on that kind of stuff, on the Assange case, everything. And you can also go to mistywinston.substack.com. And that is where you can find information about all of our guests every day. There's a little write-up with all of their links. So if you're listening and you want to support somebody that's on the show, very easy way to find all of their stuff. So, at TNT, we also love when you have suggestions for possible guests that you would like to hear on TNT Radio, or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss, and we want to hear from you. So just complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website, and you can help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Breaking down the headlines.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Very excited to welcome back Alex Felix to the show. He's the co-founder of the mutual aid group United for East Palestine. Obviously, East Palestine, Ohio is the location of the train, the Norfolk Southern train derailment on February 3rd. And they were established to provide much needed resources and support for East Palestine, Ohio, as well as fund and secure independent testing of the ground, water, and air. And Alex is an organizer who has experience in coordinating grassroots campaign. And he's the executive director for United for East Palestine. Hey, Alex, thanks for coming back to the show.
Hi, Misty. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, I'm excited to get an update. I've been trying to follow everything as closely as I can. It seems like there's always something. And I love, is it Professor Welton? He's been doing a lot of really great work. So can you first, can you just give us an update on how people are in East Palestine? I know that you talk to a lot of the locals and stuff. How is everybody doing? What's the mood there? Do they feel like they're getting the answers they deserve? What's going on?
Well, let me paint a picture. People are starting to, the symptoms people are having are in many ways getting worse. People have started bleeding out of their ears now. People are getting blood-filled pustules on their skin that they're calling eczema. I use air quotes there. Excuse me. People are still having difficulty breathing. The EPA is finally coming out and saying that there might be a problem, but they're still not doing anything to help people get evacuated. We've now had people in the local area staging protests, coming out with signs, protesting EPA, but at the same time, the local government decided to host their annual Easter egg hunt in the park, where they're going to be having kids come out and right next to the river that the EPA is saying is poisoned, and hunt for Easter eggs in the name of getting back to normal. So it's in many ways the same, in a lot of ways worse, in no way better. There's some progress being made, but that progress is still not what I would call an improvement, because they're still there. They're still doing everything they can to minimize it. You know, the State Department decided to file charges against Norfolk Southern for polluting, for poisoning the water. And my question is, well, what about the people who are being poisoned? Like, you're coming out and saying they poisoned the water, but what about the people who are being poisoned? That's kind of the main issue here, is it not? But apparently, apparently that would require action. So it's much easier to just file a lawsuit so they can force Norfolk Southern to pay whatever cost of business they decided to, while pretending to and acting that they're doing something, you know, constructive.
Well, and who gets that money, Alex? It's not the people of East Palestine. Like, whatever fees or fines that they have to pay because of the crap that they pulled and the poisoning of the people and the water, and the people aren't going to get that money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's this whole thing is so absurd, and it's so amazing to me that nobody's even asking the people of East Palestine if they want to be evacuated. It should be their choice, and Norfolk Southern should be forced to pay for anybody who lives in the area who wants to relocate to relocate. Period. I mean, it is mind blowing to me that, as you mentioned, symptoms are getting worse for people, and so the idea that we're like they still haven't been evacuated. Do you get a sense that most people want to evacuate? What's the feel for that? Like, is it kind of split? Is it most people feel like they want to leave? Because I feel like especially if I have kids, I would want out.
I think that the people who are really paying attention and who are looking at the actual science all want to leave. The people who are listening to the government and letting them and listening to people who are being gaslit by the government and the EPA and everybody, all the official sources telling them that it's fine. And the people, you know, who own businesses, and the people who have some kind of interest in trying to get things back to air quotes normal, those people are more towards, you know, just like the city board decided to do the Easter egg hunt, you know, because the official sources are still saying everything's probably fine. And as long as those official sources keep saying that, there's going to be a good chunk of people who are, you know, saying, you know, whatever, because they're not. The people like Professor Welton, scientists who are coming out and blowing the whistle on this and saying, look, this is extremely dangerous. Those people are not being given a center stage to actually say that from an official place. They're being pushed off to the side, and everybody with the official positions is saying everything's fine. So, you know, you say people should be evacuated if they want to, and that's 100% true. But the thing is, that's always the case in an evacuation. I've never seen any, even when there's an evacuation order put out, it's always still up to them. Like, the people will say, hey, you got to get out of here because it's dangerous, but they arrest you and like put you in a paddy wagon and take you down. Is paddy wagon, is that an offensive way to, is that an offensive term? Put you in a police.
I'm sure somebody will find a way to be offended by that. Yes.
And take you down. No, like it's always by choice, but the government is supposed to be clear about the danger. It's supposed to be clear, very clear. That's what the point of an evacuation order is. This place is dangerous. You have to go. And also, there needs to be aid and assistance and whatever else you need to get people out of there. And that's what there isn't. And that's what they're all dragging their feet on, which, you know, it's. When you have any knowledge of what sort of toxic chemicals these people are being exposed to, and you see the symptoms that they're being exposed to in the short term, and you know what the long-term impacts of these things are being, and you know the government also knows these things and is also aware of these symptoms, and they're just not doing anything. It's criminal. You know, it's, crazy.
And infuriating. It is infuriating that we are, and we're just allowing it. And I realize it's not like we're not actually allowing it, that nobody's talking about it anymore. It's not really in the news, and that's it by design. And there's never going to be any accountability because it's very easy to distract us away from, you know, there's always a million things that we're being bombarded with. But it is mind blowing and disgusting to me that we are just going to poison this whole region, this whole community, because it's not just East Palestine. I mean, this spreads obviously through soil and water and all of that stuff through the air. And it's there's going to be no accountability, Alex. It's so, and I keep hoping that maybe this time will be enough. Maybe this time somebody's going to be like, okay, no, we're not standing for this anymore. We're not going to let corporations, you know, buy our government, buy the politicians, and then rig the system in their favor so that they can milk it for every, you know, half of a penny that it's worth. Like, they're crazy greedy. That's what this all boils down to. They just like wanted to strip all the regulations away from themselves so that they could make another dollar. And it's so gross because it is such a clear example of profit over people. And it's just very frustrating that we continue to let this happen. This is not the first time, and it's not going to be the last, and it sucks, you know? It just sucks.
Well, I definitely think that there's always there's a saying that I watched in an anime recently that I have taken to heart, which is a pinch is a chance, which is whenever there is, you're in the most dire straits, that's also an opportunity to turn things around. And I think that's true for life. And, you know, we are in generally just a bad situation, but we do have an opportunity to turn things around. Just like, I mean, in this is a ridiculous moment in time where you have a toxic plume of gases that are registered as war crimes, like as like a war crime weapon if they were used against people by the government. And they've gassed basically the entire Northeast. They have poisoned the entire region, multiple counties across Ohio and Pennsylvania, the rivers, the creeks. There's a mass die-off on a level of mass extinction in that area, bees and deer and aquatic life, insects, foxes, chickens, and it goes as far as Ontario, Canada, upstate New York. We've got people who are getting their muscles tested and coming out with chemical with the vinyl chloride poisoning. And that's just one chemical. Yeah. There are so many other chemicals that we don't even know they're being exposed to. And these are the sort of tests that need to be done. Accountability is always a possibility, which is why they work so hard, I think, to prevent those first steps from happening, because once you can knock those first dominoes down, it creates a cause a chain of causality that forces their accountability. But you have to knock that first domino down. That first domino is the first domino they always try the hardest to keep up, which is disproving that there is even a problem, which is trying to keep
that's the big thing. That's why they try to silence everything. Like, that's why they weren't even testing for dioxins. They were just like, nope, we're not even going to test for that. They're still avoiding town halls. Norfolk Southern is still avoiding town halls. They're still avoiding questions. There's still a lot of secrecy. There's zero transparency, really. And that's going to continue, but that's exactly why they do that, because then, and the farther we get away from it, the more difficult it is to hold them accountable, because people stop caring. And it, you know what I mean? It's like the cycle. They know what they're doing. Okay. We have to take a quick break, but everybody hang tight. We're going to be right back in a couple minutes with Alex Felix right here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Timothy Shea is talking about.
We're not conspiracy theorists. We're pattern recognition experts, okay? Every single time there's a story that is not conducive to Democrats pushing their narrative, bam, school shooting, bam, train derailment, bam, small plane into a food processing factory, bam, church fire. This story with Alvin Bragg not being able to indict Donald Trump must be so big that today we had to have a school shooting and not one, but two train derailments. A 70-car derailment in North Dakota that left, you guessed it, an environmental catastrophe, and a runaway train in California that the crew bailed on. What's really going on? What is it that they don't want us to know about?
Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
TNTRadio.live.
I like the reporters. I like the current events.
Talk that I like. Politics I like.
A lot of news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. It is TNT Radio. It's Friday. I'm so excited. Okay, we have Alex Felix here, who is the executive director for the group United for East Palestine. It's a group of activists trying to organize resources, support. They're also trying to get funding and independent testing done of the ground and water and air. They've already been working with a lot of different people trying to accomplish that. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that, Alex. I know that Professor Welton and others have been trying to do some independent testing. I've been trying to follow their visits back and forth to the area. Do you know anything new? Like, has there been any new developments in terms of what people are experiencing and what kind of test, what the testing is showing? Because it's kind of interesting to me to see how these people are being gaslit and told that things are safe, and then we're finding out very much the opposite of that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of new developments, actually. River Valley Organizing is co-hosting a panel with Professor Welton and some of the other scientists who have done testing in the area to get everybody up to speed on exactly what they found this weekend. Professor Weldon has, of course, been doing his updates. I think they've been doing, his team, Purdue University, have been doing a phenomenal job of doing the tests that aren't being done, and really doing a on the ground, real first person view to see what needs to happen, what isn't being done, and holding people accountable. We have Professor Weldon to thank for sending an OSHA complaint to on Norfolk Southern, because they were sending in their workers without any hazmat material or any other idea of what was even in what they were having them clean up. He wrote a letter. He sent that OSHA complaint onto the Senate. His team has been phenomenal in holding people accountable and pushing for that.
Yeah.
There have been, we found that there's seven different types of dioxins in the soil around East Palestine, 100 times greater concentration than the lifetime exposure limit for human beings. There is still a lot of testing that needs, and that was just really just preliminary testing. From the sampling they've done. There's still so much testing that needs to be done. There's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. But that, the links to that, we can send you. We'll have that posted this weekend. The summit will be on Saturday. There's a lot of fuel to look out for, but the long and short of it is that we know it's not safe, because we know people are having symptoms, and even without having any idea what kind of chemicals they're being exposed to, the fact that there's even one person with symptoms, and never mind that it's a whole lot of people experiencing symptoms within the area, means that this is not a place where people should be, and they need to get people out now. But they're doing everything they can to prevent that from happening.
Oh, it's so gross. And the event is, I just pulled it up because I wanted to make sure I could give everybody the information. It's on Sunday, right? April 2nd. That's what I'm, if I'm reading the right one, River Valley Organizing. So there's a researcher update April 2nd from 6 to 8 p.m. I assume that's Eastern. It's Andrew Welton, Ivan, I'm probably saying these wrong, I'm sorry, Ivan Russian, Aaron Haynes, and Lauren Spearing. So this is a researcher update. It's an online event. You can go to River Valley Org, at River Valley Org on Twitter, and they're tweeting about it. I'm sure the United for East Palestine Twitter page is also tweeting it out as well. Check that event out for sure. I think we need just a lot of public support. You know what I mean? Because it can't just be East Palestine. It's got to be other people kind of trying to fight back against this stuff too. And that's why I keep trying to talk about it, because if they can do that, they're gonna continue to do this, right, Alex? Like, this is just how business is done now in the rail industry. Yeah. There's very little regulations. There's little to no safety. It's like a free for all. It's nuts.
It's worse than that. They are going to continue to do this. It's that they are continuing to do this. Have been multiple train derailments with toxic chemicals spewing into the water and the ground just since this one in East Palestine. The East Palestine train wreck was not unusual for the amount of toxic chemicals that were released into the water. Excuse me, or the vinyl chloride that was released into the town. The only thing that made this event unusual is the fact that they set it on fire. Other than that, this event is business as usual, which is why the government has been going along with minimizing it and keeping everything, hush hush, because that's how they do this. These events are handled. They know that hundreds of towns just like East Palestine and the surrounding areas are poisoned by toxic chemicals every single year, and it gets swept under the rug and no one reports about it. No one ever hears about it. The biggest reason why they're upset at Norfolk Southern, if they are, I would imagine, is because they set the plume on fire, which created this gigantic smoke cloud, which then got taken pictures of, which people started sharing. What they wanted was for them to just quietly poison the town of East Palestine and move along. But what happened was they loudly poisoned the entire area and then sent up one of the most toxic plumes of smoke that have really been created by human beings and sent it over the entire Northeast and caused a gigantic problem that they're really, that's what they're really, really working hard to minimize. They want to keep this story as small as possible. They want people to just think this is East Palestine, this is the surrounding areas, but that smoke cloud, and I really want to make this clear to as many people as possible and disabuse everyone of the notion that this is an East Palestine problem or a problem with just East Palestine and Beaverton and the surrounding counties in Pennsylvania and Ohio. This smoke plume went over the entire Northeast. These are this is a cocktail of toxic chemicals that we don't even know exactly what was in it, because when you set these chemicals on fire, it creates new chemicals. So people were talking about 1 million pounds of particulate that was dispersed across the entire Northeast from Ontario, Canada, upstate New York. All that entire area was gas, with literal toxic gas, when we don't even know what the long-term impacts will be, and we don't even know what those chemicals are. We need to get all the people tested. Anybody who smelled any kind of chemical smell in the area, anybody who saw signs of acid rain or chemical sheen in the snow melt or anything within that time span, you were exposed to those chemicals. And we do not even know what the long-term impacts will be. We need to get that testing done. This is not something that just happened to East Palestine. This is something that happened to the entire Northeast.
Yes. 100%. And they are absolutely trying to make sure that the story stays as small as possible for a multitude of reasons. But that right there, what you just said, is part of it, because Norfolk Southern doesn't want to pay for all that. And they would essentially be on the hook for it, or they should be. They're definitely going to try to get, and this is not the only time that every time there is one of these disasters, these crises, whatever you want to call it, whether it's this or, because as you were just talking there about how they try to silence these stories, I immediately started thinking of Colonial Pipeline. That's a story that broke, like 3 years ago, I think, maybe. I don't even remember at this point. My friend Robbie broke the story. Colonial Pipeline was potentially one of the biggest gas leaks in the country's history. And nobody was talking about it. Nobody's still talking about it. And it was to the point that they didn't even know. They couldn't even tell. They had no idea how much actually leaked. They had no way of telling that, like, their systems were completely broken down. They hadn't been doing any of the things they were supposed to be. And this is another one of those situations where, and that's what I'm saying. Like, we've talked about this before, Alex, that is legitimately just the price of business for these turds. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care at all. They are fine with putting people at risk. They don't, when something bad happens, they, see it as a mere, it's just an inconvenience that they have to go through a slight investigation and maybe have to pay some fines, but that's all that ever happens. And it's not, it's like, it is. And I'm glad that you brought up that it's all the way through the Northeast, because I don't think people are recognizing that. Alex, can you talk a little bit about, like, cause I know you have had some testing done in like Canada and stuff, right? What exactly, are like the biggest concerns?
Yeah, so we've had people who've gotten blood work done in Ontario, Canada, and New York on their own dime. We're trying to get the funds so that we can get a full spectrum test, because there are people who are in upstate New York who reported that they're getting muscle test that's coming up positive for vinyl chloride. But that's because they're testing for vinyl chloride, but we actually don't know what chemicals they are being exposed to. What we need to do is to get a full spectrum toxicity panel on anybody who reports any kind of exposure symptoms. If they're reporting exposure symptoms, even if they come back negative for vinyl chloride, we don't know what chemical they were exposed to, and that's what we need to find out. And also, it might have just broken down. They might have been exposed to it, but then it might have broken down. So there's a lot of testing that needs to be done.
Yes.
But we have people in Ontario, Canada, who are reporting all the same sorts of toxic exposure chemical symptoms that we have from people in East Palestine. These are people who reported on in a survey that only we have information. So we have information that other people aren't privy to, of the exact kind of symptoms. So we can see when other people report those same symptoms in places like Ontario, Canada, upstate New York, we see like these are the same symptoms. They're clearly connected. We have there's someone who's been documenting like the trees turning like a sickly yellow in a way that they shouldn't because they're evergreens. There's all kinds of crazy amounts of empirical data showing that there's a problem. And what the government is doing is preventing by not by obfuscating this and by saying there's nothing, there's no problem, and saying we're already testing when they're not, they're preventing any of the actual science that needs to be done to find out what the problem is and the scope of the problem is to not be done. And it's so much deeper than just Norfolk Southern doesn't want to have to pay the money out. I mean, yes, obviously, yeah, that's their financial incentive, but it's deeper than that. This, if the mass of people in our society were made truly aware of the scale and scope of this problem, it doesn't just look bad on Norfolk Southern. It shines a clear light on the blighted breakdown and destructiveness of the status quo, of our infrastructure and what our society has become. It shines a light on government corruption. It shines a light on how grossly underregulated the railroad companies are. It shines a light on how we move toxic chemicals. It shines a light on how poisoned our waterways are. Now that I'm paying this has caused our team to focus on this because of this. We're seeing so many events just like this happening just in Ohio, but all over the place. And we're seeing it's not anything new. It's just now we're paying attention. Now when people are sending us the videos that would normally get buried of chocolate factories exploding. Or a boat capsizing in hundreds of thousands of gallons of methanol going into the river. There's so many, and this has been a couple weeks, and it's been a couple weeks, there's multiple gigantic industrial toxic chemical spills and wrecks and explosions that are killing people, and no one even knows about it. And that's what we need to do, is we need to be consistent and organized and cohesive in shining a light on what is actually happening, that our water is actively being poisoned, that our air is actively being poisoned, that our soil is actively being poisoned, and that we have the capacity to do something about it. But we need people to A, be aware of the problem, and B, we need to be organized in our response to it. We need to get the word out to people that this is happening, and we need to come together with a clear plan of action for what we do to fix it.
Yeah. Yes. And your biggest problem, honestly, Alex, is going to be getting information out to people. That is exactly how they squash these movements, is they control the levers of information. I mean, they control, we've seen the way that they throttle people on social media, and that they have, I mean, there's full blown collusion between social media and intelligence and law enforcement. They're using it to ferret out activists. They're using it to squash movements. We know that, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I really hope that people can start to recognize that that's a huge part of how we win this thing, is to get information out. And that doesn't mean just sharing things on social media, because they're very good at being able to stop that. But like getting out in your communities too, getting out onto the streets and having conversations in real life. That's, a big way that we can kind of combat against that, because it's terrible right now, Alex. Like, it's so hard. And I'm sure that you know now, I'm sure that you've experienced this over the past couple of months, that it is really difficult to get any traction on any of these kinds of things. Like, if you even mention the word, nobody will see it. There's no interaction. It's hardcore shadow banned. I'm sure you've experienced that, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Our Twitter account was officially shadow banned within a couple of days that we started it. And I took that as a sign that we were on the right track there.
Yeah.
But honestly, the shadow banning and the social media suppression, that we expected. The corporate media coming in, making it the highlight for the week and moving on, we expected.
Yeah.
What we have been found to be the challenge that we didn't expect is the difficulty in getting independent media personalities to take what's happening seriously. That's what has surprised me. There are people who will talk about it, but it doesn't seem like even people in independent media with larger followings want to really take this issue seriously in terms of day-to-day coverage, investigative journalism. We had to have a guy come in from California to do some investigative journalism because nobody else was really doing it. I mean, there were other people who were coming in and recording things, but there was so much of the story they were missing. And we reached out to a lot of them personally. And for the most part, their responses were tepid. You know, some of them were like, okay, we'll talk to this person or that person. But it doesn't seem like, you know, there's people who were chasing coverage, but it's like there is a deep story here that deserves to be treated with respect and with given a real investigative journalistic coverage, not just getting people on, having them talk and saying, hey, look, we got this person. There's a story to be told. That's what journalism is. Journalism is storytelling. And there is a very important story to be told here that no one is really taking the time to tell in a way that gives it, that I think does it any justice, at least no one that I've really seen. And that's why we had to bring somebody else in. That's what was like, it's an amateur journalist. We have that video. We can share that as well. But you know, there are a lot of independent journalist organizations who are missing out on a lot of the story that I think that could be covered. There's a lot of, independent media personalities and podcasters who are just treating this like the story of the week. This is the entire Northeast was potentially poisoned with wartime war crime level toxic gas. We're talking Agent Orange, the chemicals in Agent Orange. We're talking phosgene. We're talking the type of chemicals that stay generationally, cause massive birth defects, incredible diseases, and are some of the most toxic substances humans have ever discovered. There was the entire Northeast was potentially blanketed with, and there is no testing being done. We're talking about a level of chemical poisoning that is unprecedented, and no one is wanting to talk about it. And it's absurd to me because it seems to me like that would be an objectively, just from their perspective, that would be something that people would want to know about. So even if your only goal is to get listeners and viewers, why not talk about it?
Yes. Well, okay, we have to take a break, but we need to talk about this a little bit further because I have some theories. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with Alex Felix right here on TNT Radio.
Oh my, polar bears are disappearing, but only from Al Gore's books and movies. Their numbers are hitting record levels.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In Al Gore's first film, An Inconvenient Truth, in 2006, he made the polar bear the icon, the poster child of his film, claiming that the polar bear was hanging on to the last ice cube in the Arctic and was soon to go extinct. Fast forward to 2023, and the polar bears are now at or near historic population highs. And Al Gore's sequel? Nary a mention of the polar bear. Polar bear expert Dr. Susan Crockford has said polar bears turned out to be more flexible and resilient than predicted. You gotta hand it to Al Gore. Instead of dealing with the issue head on, he just acted like he never even talked about polar bears in his sequel. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
At the World Economic Forum's 2018 annual meeting in Davos, globalist stakeholders plotted to advance a program for user-centric digital identities. This global problem is well underway, but the mainstream media fails to report it. Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum claims digital identities are urgently needed, otherwise citizens and consumers may miss out on the opportunities of the fourth industrial revolution. In reality, the globalist program of digital identities would create an Orwellian dystopia, where oppressive governments backed by multinational corporations could track and monitor every transaction that we make. The World Bank's October 2019 Identification for Development Practitioners Guide states, "Digital ID and payments platforms provide the means to move towards a cashless society. Will the bank accounts of those opposing this tyranny be frozen?"
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTradio.live.
All right, we're talking to Alex Felix. This is the Misty Winston Show. All right, I have some theories here, Alex, because I guess I'm part of independent media, or I was, or I don't know. I don't consider myself a journalist by any stretch of the imagination. I always make sure to make that incredibly clear. I'm not a journalist. I'm just some chick in Ohio. I'm a commentator at best. I'm an activist first. So I don't ever really, it's weird for me to think of myself that way, but I do have some theories on why people in independent media do these kinds of things, because it's despite the fact that they're not corporately funded, I think that it's very easy once you get to a certain level of independent media, a certain level of podcasting, it does become your source of income. And I think at that point, you then start to subconsciously tailor the things that you say to the broadest base of people, and you start to modify the way that you cover things in a way that won't be offensive to anyone, that won't get you demonetized, that won't get you, a ding on your YouTube channel or whatever. And I think that that's a really big problem, because that's the way that the system is set up. It's set up to, push people into covering things a certain way or not covering things. And I don't think it's always a conscious choice. I think a lot of people modify their thinking as a survival mechanism in the independent media space, but it still sucks. It's terrible to watch people. Especially people that, like, I respect, it's interesting to watch them go for, like, the lowest common denominator, like drama, right? The latest Twitter beef always gets a lot of clicks, right? So when I see people doing that kind of coverage constantly every single day, rather than covering things of substance, it's depressing that that's, what gets the most attention. But that's really where we are. And I think people probably just tailor the stuff that they do, to benefit themselves the best. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's just unfortunate. Yeah. It is bad that we can't get people to cover this, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say that makes sense. But, I have to feel that if you're someone who has taken the time to build yourself a channel, to build yourself a presence in this space where you can start you can use it to support your ability to live a comfortable, respectable life, which is what every human should be able to experience. I mean, every life form on the planet has the same fundamental right to live and to have a life that is comfortable and respectable, and have a profession that makes you feel fulfilled. That is what it means to have a little meaningful existence in our society. But if I have to feel that if you're going to take the time to have done that, to have built that, wouldn't you want to use that to actually talk about things that matter? And I'm not talking about, it's not about grandstanding or, fulfilling whatever ego about, I reported on this, but we're talking about the water that we all drink being poisoned on a massive scale. We're talking about the air we all breathe being poisoned on an industrial scale. We're talking about the soil that we depend on for our food being filled with toxic chemicals that last for hundreds, thousands, millions, and even billions of years. And this is the essential story. It does not matter if you consider yourself a socialist or a libertarian, or you are the most hardcore sycophant for the capitalist class, or the most hardcore supporter of the working class. This is something that impacts every single one of us. This is something that every single person has a vested interest in, making sure we have clean water, clean air, and clean soil is a classless issue. We are all in the class that is human beings, and we are all in the class of living beings on this planet. That's a class we all share. So if we're talking about class interests, this is in the interest of all of our collective class to have a world that does not poison us, that we are not actively poisoning. And this cannot go on. And the only way we stop this is by taking it seriously, acting like this is we see it as a problem, but it's only unacceptable if we collectively choose to stop accepting it. And the only way we do that is to come together, put all the BS narratives aside, and address the central issue that is clean water, clean air, and soil that we can actually grow food from.
Yeah, Well said, Alex. That's yes, that's exactly it. I mean, it's watching people politicize this makes me really angry. I realize that that's just part of the game, especially given that we're coming into an election season. But the idea that people are politicizing this, and we're hearing people say that, oh, well, they deserved it, that they that county or whatever voted for Trump, as if that's a reason why, like, oh, you deserve to be poisoned because you voted for somebody different than me. Like, that level of rhetoric in this country right now is really disturbing to me, because I feel like there's this huge divide and stuff like this is used to create an even further division. But yeah, it is. It's there is no party. There's no, it's not Democrats or Republicans. It's not left versus right. It's not blue versus red. It's just the people. Like, it's genuinely us versus them. It is us versus the predator class, you might call them. Some people call them the ruling elite, whatever. It is really us versus them. I mean, this, you're right. This impacts literally every person. Even if you don't live in the Ohio area or in the Northeast, this impacts you. Because like Alex said, this impacts our farmland. Like, this is prime farmland that's going to impact food supplies. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I don't think people, maybe people just don't recognize, because it's not happening close to them, they just don't recognize the threat to them. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But yeah, it sucks that we can't get people more invested in it. What do you think? How do we get people to care? Because I deal with the same exact thing with Assange stuff. Like, the Assange thing impacts literally all of us. It is our right to speak. It is our right to press freedom. It's our right to hold power to account. It's our right to information. And I still, it's really difficult to get people to recognize how that impacts them. It's difficult.
I think that the first thing is, this, I don't think that, I don't even see this as a issue of us versus them. I see this as an issue of common sense versus stupidity. When I just to put an example on that, the CDC has been actively participating in obfuscating on this point by telling doctors they aren't allowed to diagnose anybody with outside of a certain zone with toxic chemical injury. And the CDC employees who were in the area got sick when they were in the area from toxic chemical exposure. So this is not like, when you put out a giant plume of toxic gas over the entire Northeast, that's not a class issue. There are plenty of millionaires and even billionaires who would have been exposed to those toxic chemicals. This is not an issue of capitalism. This isn't even an issue of the capitalist class versus the working class. This is an issue of just pure, hard-brained stupidity and insanity of people who just have completely lost the they've gone completely off the rails of being able to think and act logically, and are just so stuck in whatever patterns of behavior that they have been taught that they're no longer able to act with the just most basic of common sense. Clean air, clean water, and soil that is not poisonous, that's common sense. There's nothing about that that has anything to do with class. That is just the world that we live in, wanting it not to be poisonous. That is just obvious. And to put a deeper pin in that, 100 years ago, there was some disagreement over what caused cholera. There were a lot of people who were insisting that cholera was caused by breathing in what they called bad air about 120 years ago. There was a lot of disagreements over what happened. It took someone taking a microscope and getting being able to actually see bacteria to prove, even though they'd already proven it through empirical evidence and looking at how it spread, that it was caused by drinking dirty water, to prove that bacteria exists. And it took all of that and like 20 years of debate for people to figure out that maybe drinking water with human feces in it might be a bad idea. And when they finally were able to figure that out, they actually fixed it. They lifted the entire city of Chicago off of the ground to lay in new piping so that people could have access to water that wouldn't kill them, and that didn't have poop in it, that didn't have actual human feces in it. That's what they did 120 years ago. They were able to make the basic conclusion, drinking water with human feces turns out not the best idea. Let's do something about that. Maybe we should make the same conclusion, drinking water with toxic chemicals in it, chemicals that would be registered as war crimes if a military did it to civilians. Maybe drinking water, breathing air, and growing food with toxic chemicals in it, not the best idea. Maybe we should do something about it.
Maybe. I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. That is nothing more than just common sense. But it's something that we still have to, I mean, it's no different than like Red Hill in Hawaii. We know that the Navy is poisoning the people there. We know what's happening. But yet there's still this battle going on to try to get those things shut down. It's crazy that we, do you think it's just that we've allowed the system to be so completely corrupted that it has been made near impossible to get any real substantive change? It takes forever. The levers of power move very slowly. And there's just never any, like I said, there's never any accountability. So it's like you just kind of go around in these circles trying to fight these things. And it always ends up a wash because it's difficult to fight power. I mean, it's expensive if you want to go to court, stuff like that. What do you think it's going to take for us to be able to actually rectify this issue?
Well, yeah, I actually don't think the levers of power do necessarily move very slowly. We saw with COVID that the levers of power were perfectly willing to move very quickly to approve trillions of dollars to go directly into buying out,
right, for their own agenda,
Wall Street,
not for ours.
Wall Street stocks and going directly into the pockets of the most egregiously powerful economic forces in the world. We saw with the bank crash in Silicon Valley, they were able to move those levers of power were able to move very quickly to make sure those millionaires stayed millionaires. The levers of power will move quickly in the direction that they feel that they is in their interest to move in. So I feel the way we address this, and we are trying to do this, is we need the people who are trying to get things to go in the direction. We need to act in unison. We need to come together, put aside all of the nonsense narratives. It does not matter what your perspective is on any issue outside of clean air, clean water, and clean soil. That's it. That's all we need to focus on, because this is an issue that is absolutely existential. We all need to come together around this issue. In order to do that, one thing that our organization is doing, we are hosting a summit for organizations and activists next week in Easter Sunday, April 9th, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are hosting a summit for any organizations or activists who are interested in coming together collectively to fix this problem, to come to the summit so we can come together and form a cohesive plan for how to do something about this. And however big you think this problem is, I promise you it's much bigger than that. There's so many stories that are swept under the rug. So like the level of just absolute incompetence in which our infrastructure is being run is honestly mind-boggling. I promise you, however much you know about this story, however much you know about the issue, I can almost guarantee you, you do not know the half of it. It is so much worse than what anyone is even aware of. So much worse, I'm sure, than what I am aware of. We have to come together to actually get, in order, if we want a society that is just basically functional, if we want air that just we can continue to breathe, soil we can continue to grow food out of, and water that we can continue to drink, we have to come together, act collectively with a cohesive plan and one single voice. We need to make sure people are aware of what is actually happening. We need to treat this story seriously. We need as many people with as big a voice as possible to be aware of the issue and to be actively working to put the word out there and speaking with one voice. It's time for us to do something about this. It's time for us to fix this issue. It's time for us to fix just the basic level of what it means to live in the society that we have created.
Yes. Well said. And I keep saying this. Yes, we have to come together. We have to do single issue coalitions, especially on issues that are as important as this. I feel the same way about anti-war stuff. I feel the same way about Assange stuff. When there's an issue that is that important, I don't care who you voted for. I don't care what ism you subscribe to. I don't care what books you read. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what label you apply to yourself. I don't care. I'm selfish. I want to get some stuff done. And the only way we get stuff done is with numbers. And so we need to come together where we have these common causes and fight back against these creeps, because we cannot keep letting them get away with this. It's absurd. It is genuinely absurd that they can just poison a whole community, a whole region, and then just, like, okay, here's a little fine, and then they bounce. And the CEO, I mean, he like doubled his salary from 2021 to 2022. Dude doubled his salary, which is like millions of dollars. That's the kind of creeps these are. So yes, we need to come together, single issue coalition, regardless of differences, and fight back against this stuff. Okay, Alex, where can people find you, and where can they find United for East Palestine?
We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, United4EP, that's United F-O-R-E-P, at United4EP, that'll take you to our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook page, our email, our Gmail, United4EP@gmail.com, all of that. We also have a Facebook group, United for East Palestine, parentheses, Ohio. All of that will take you to everything we have in terms of we're coming out. If you're part of an organization, if you are someone with an activist with a larger reach, if you're a media personality, whatever, if you're interested in coming to our summit, please reach out to us. If you know somebody who might be interested and are able to make that connection, please reach out to us.
Yes.
We really want to try and form a collective, cohesive coalition around this, because this is an issue. Everybody's being impacted by this. We need to get together.
Yes, let's do it.
So please come.
Everybody check out United for East Palestine. I'll be back next week with more shows for you. And as Julian Assange says, learn, challenge, act now. Don't go anywhere. More coming up right after this, right here on TNT Radio.